Good evening. I hope y'all all had a good day. First thing we need to do is take prayer requests. I talked with Brother Harold this afternoon, and he called me, and he seems to be doing all right. He said he's getting some feeling back in his arm and use of it, but he's got to go through tests. So they will be testing him to see exactly what's going on. So pray for him. Of course, Brother Justin ended up with a stomach virus, so he's not doing too well, so pray for him. And we have many, many others, so many, I can't remember all of them. But the good Lord knows each and every person that needs his help. He knows what needs to be done. So we can pray that he will do that. Do y'all have any prayer requests? Yes, ma'am. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And yes, ma'am. Praying for that also. Well, it's easy.
Miss Vaughn came home today from the hospital.
Okay, that's good. That's good news, yeah. So we can pray for them also. That's Cassie Kronovich's mother, and their member's here. She hadn't been able to come lately, but, you know, when she was able, she did like to come. She was here. So we need to pray for them also. Pray for, Barbara and Barbara Ann, Barbara especially, because as a caretaker, you know, we kind of forget them. And that's something they go through a lot. They go through a whole lot. And we seem to forget them as the caretakers, you know. We think, well, they're okay. No, they go through a lot. And we watched it with Yvonne's sister when she went through it with two husbands. She watched over them, and the last one for 12 years. So, you know, and she has no time to yourself. You know, you're stuck pretty well with them. And it makes it hard. BJ's been through it. She knows. So it's really, really hard. And remember Miss Jackie, she almost had a knee give out on her a minute ago coming in the door. And we don't need that happening either. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Unspoken. Absolutely. I don't know how she could do it, or Leonard either, because I've never been through the situation, but that would be an awful thing to do, is to lose a child. Yeah. And Sharon was a good church-going lady. And we came up with her. You know, she came up while we were at Corner. And, yeah, so I've known her ever since she was a little girl.
50 years.
Yeah. Right. We do need to pray for them. The McCrickards, I haven't talked to them lately. I need to. There's just so many. You know, I can't remember everybody.
And anybody heard from Bob Clavin?
No.
No.
No. I haven't even got him to answer the phone, so I may have the wrong number. I don't know. I don't know, you know.
Rusty had surgery yesterday.
Yeah.
He's getting better. He's still a little sore.
Oh, yes. That'll be good. Because that can be miserable when your sinuses and all give you headaches like crazy. And, yeah, that's not good. You know, anyone else? Brother Ed, could you pray for us tonight?
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that we come to your church here. Praise you, Lord. Give up for your prayer this evening, Lord, because you know you hear us. You know what you think. You know that the Lord, you pray for them. You know what's going on with them, what you can do to help them. Make them more comfortable than doctors and nurses. We'll take care of them. We pray for the ones that have trouble with church, who's in, or they don't know anymore. We'd like that they come to church, be born again, and know you, and have a wonderful life for that forever, Lord. Thank you for our church and for our country, and all the ones that we know, with them in God.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Tonight we'll be studying in Proverbs chapter 9. And they wanted a title for my teachings tonight. It would be the House of Wisdom or Wisdom's House, either one you wish. But the first two verses in that chapter say, Wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table. Now, these will be the focus of pretty well the teaching tonight. And a lot of times people will ask me, you know, why the Lord decided to use the male gender most of the time. Here he's using the female. But normally, if you remember, with people, if you have a ship or a house, it's called she or her. So, yeah, it's common practice, and it was even then. But when you stop and think about wisdom, who is wisdom, really? And if you go back, all the way back to the beginning, in the beginning of the Word, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the New Testament, in John, it tells us that the Word is manifested in the flesh, which was Jesus Christ. And if you study the first eight chapters of Proverbs, you find out that wisdom is the Lord, because it is the Word of God. So that is wisdom. It also tells you in the first chapter that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Well, the fear of God is not that you're afraid of him so much. You're afraid of what he can do if you, you know, are not his people and not chosen him. But the fear is the fear of not knowing him. Wisdom is the Word. Study his Word. Take it. And it says, wisdom had built at her house. Solomon is designing this pretty well, as he brings it out, as a temple. Just like he built the temple that had pillars in it that helped support everything because of the great weight. This one has seven pillars. But if you take this and you turn it over to what is taught in the New Testament, then you learn that her buildeth her house, she hath hewn out her seven pillars. Seven pillars are the seven churches of Revelation. That's the pillars of wisdom's house. And that is the word of God being taught in this world. So the seven churches uphold this house. Christ told us that he has gone to a, he's going to a place that he's going to build a house for us. Because he says, in his Father's house are many mansions, but where I go, I will build a house where you can be with me. Now, it doesn't say that the mansions in God's house are ours. So I don't know if they are or not. I know Christ is building a house for us. And we know that in Revelation, it talks of the seven churches. Those are going to be the pillars in that house. So Christ is wisdom, even though it is mentioned as her house. And I think sometimes, too, because if even today, if a man and a woman get married and he's going to build a house, who's going to design it and tell him how to put it together? She is. It's her house. Even the law today will tell you if something happens and they break up, that house belongs to her. You know, it's her house, not yours. So, yes, she's building a house. But, and she's honed out the seven pillars. Each church is mentioned in Revelation. And those are the backbone of our faith and of wisdom. Because through those pillars, if you go down just a little further, it's in the third verse, she says, she has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Normally, a temple was built on the highest hill in the town. Even in this country, when they first started, they were built up on a hill where everybody in the town could look and see the steeple of the church. They knew where it was at. They didn't have to wonder about it. So they were built up a little higher than normal. So, and sent forth her maidens. Talking of these maidens, she's talking about, the word is talking about you and I. For we are the members of that church. We are those that have paid attention and been saved by the grace of God. And we are the ones going out into the world. Usually when it talks about the pillar in Revelation, it's talking about the pastor of the church. And think about that. For he is the one that's standing in the pulpit teaching the word. You and I take that word, and we become as these maidens were, and we go out. And as we go out into the world, we bring forth the light of the word. We take the wisdom of God's word and take it out there and try to share it with someone else. Now, we'll tell you this. Just don't go up and start talking to them. Let them open the door. And then you can step into that doorway and expound to them about the word of God and about the need of coming and sitting under the word and being saved by the grace of God. Because that's what this book is all about. It's about salvation. It is about Jesus Christ. So we need to tell people what he did. We need to tell people out there what he can do for you. Because it's not stopped when you get saved. That's the beginning, not the ending. And a lot of people may say, well, I'm saved, you know, but you've never seen them in church. You never see them speak to anybody about God. You never see them bring anyone into church. They don't even tell their children. That's a shame. And that's why a lot of people say, oh, it's just nonsense. It's fantasy. No, it's not. I know what God did for me, and I know what he's doing in here right now. He is still working on me. I haven't finished growing yet. He hasn't finished working on me, so I'm not ready for him to place in that pillar to build his house. For it tells us that each one of us is set in a certain place. We each have a certain place. She has killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. she hath also furnished her table. That's verse 2. Kill the beast is the sacrifice. All right, wisdom has killed her beast, which was Jesus Christ. He was the sacrifice that was laid on the cross for you and I. Wasn't an animal out there. It was our Lord Jesus. And they tortured him and they hung him on a cross, and he was innocent. Absolutely. No sin. Only perfect man that ever lived in this world. But he chose to die for you and I. That's awesome to think about. That somebody would think enough of me 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, and go and hang on that cross just for me. Because if it had just been you or just me that got saved, he would have still hung on that cross just to save one person. So you and I, as we go out, remember, Christ was the sacrifice. And it says she has mingled her wine. What did he say at the Lord's Supper? Take and eat this bread, for this bread is my body. And then he said, drink of this wine, for it is my blood. So the wine she's talking about is the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's mingled with something even better that we don't even understand or know. So it's going to be so sweet that, you know, it's going to be the best wine that's ever been, period. And a lot of people say, oh, they like wine. Well, some of it pretty good, some of it's, nah, I'm sorry, no. No, Yvonne's over here sticking her tongue out. But you think about it. Of all the drinks that you like, now I loved coffee. I can't have it anymore, but I still want it. You know, that was my drink, was coffee. To me, that's the best drink there is. Is a cup, good cup of coffee. This wine is so much better that I won't even think about the coffee. So you think about that. It's so good you can't even imagine how good it's going to be. And there's reasons for that. So, the sacrifice is there, and we are going to be there. Because if you remember, Christ said that he will, let me back up a little bit. Just as the maidens that were invited to the wedding, and they told them to get ready, because the prince was coming, and some of them went out and got oil for the lamps. Some of them just lazed around. We got plenty of time. We don't have to do this. All of a sudden, he was there. And then they were running around out here in the world trying to get oil for their lamps. All the merchants had closed. And then they were trying to get it from the ones that had oil, share with us. Salvation, I can't take my salvation and give it to my child or even to my wife. Can't do it. Because it's individual. It is personal. It is between me and Christ. Now, I don't live a perfect life by no means, and I can't. I'm human. One day, when he calls us home to that marriage supper of the Lamb, I will go in that door, and he's going to take the righteousness, my righteousness, pull it off of me as a filthy rag and throw it away, and he's going to put his on me. Because mine is as filthy rags. So you stop and think about what he has done just for you. That you can take his righteousness and place it upon you. We will enter the door. But think about all those out here in this world. The maidens have gone out. You and I as Christians, all over the world, telling them of the love of Jesus Christ, the love that God had, that he loved us so much he gave his only begotten son. And you think about that. That you could you do that? Could you take a son or a daughter and have them sacrifice that way for somebody else? I couldn't. There's no way. I love my kids too much, and I know that. And the Lord knows that. But He made me that way, that I would love them that way. And we brought them up under the Word. And both of them had been saved. Even my grandkids had been saved. Even my son's daughter, which he married a Jewish girl. And when she was a little small thing, she told her granny and I, she says, I got the best of it because I get to go and learn about God and mother, and then I get to go with daddy and I learn about Jesus. And I says, thank the Lord, you know, because it just thrilled my heart that she was learning both, which is fantastic. Because most of the time we teach our kids of Jesus, but we forget about God, you know, and we don't teach them that God the Father started all this and Jesus performed it. So you get into it and you get into all of the supper of the marriage supper of the Lamb and how good it's going to be. But you know, I'm thankful for one thing, really thankful for this one thing. I will not remember those that did not accept Christ. Because if I remembered them, there is no way there would be joy in heaven. There would be tears and crying and wailing and gnashing of teeth because of those that had fallen into hell because they would not believe. And I have a nephew, and he's been in jail for shooting someone. And apparently after he got out, he did something and had to go back. So he's not learned a thing. His dad is saved. His mother's saved. They're in church. But we prayed a long time for them. And one more nephew I'm not sure of. But anyway, I would love to see him in church. And I think the good Lord will get him there sooner or later. His sister and brother's going to get him there. And they're going to get him saved. But, you know, it's a shame that here's this boy. He's ruined his life. And, you know, because everybody, no matter where he goes, he's an ex-con. And that's terrible. People are not going to want to hire him, you know, and it's going to be a rough life. And he did it himself. Because he wasn't even supposed to have a gun. And he pulled a gun and shot a boy. Now, I don't think it killed him. It just shot him. So he went to jail for 5 years. But anyway, from what I understand, he's back in jail. But I got a lot of things I wrote down. I'm not going to get to use them. But a few things I did want to bring out. Wisdom has furnished this table with all a soul can desire. And that's true. Righteousness, grace, peace, and joy. The assurance of God's love. The consolation of the Spirit and the pledges and earnest of an everlasting life. The pledges are all through this Bible of salvation. Even in the Old Testament, it tells, you know, talks about the love of God because it says that, you know, the faithfulness of Abraham was counted as righteousness. And God walked with him and talked with him. Now that's, I can't even imagine that. And it's just beyond, and I've got a vivid imagination, but I can't imagine someone walking with God, you know, and talking with him face to face, really. He did with Moses. He talked with Moses, you know, that way. And Moses knew who he was. I can't imagine doing that. But one day, when he says, enough, come home. I'm going home to be with him. And I'm going to see him face to face. And I'm going to be right there to see you listening and shouting and praising God. Because I can't imagine anyone wanting to take my place on the cross because he took my place. He really did. So all of these things and the earnest, these are things that are promised. There's the promises in Scripture, all the way through Scripture. I can't quote them all. I'm not even going to try. It's just full of it. Everywhere you go, if you will read the Word and then sit down and study it, and I'll tell you a trick, read it out loud. Because when you hear it, it's a whole lot better. Because when you're reading it out loud, you're not only reading it here, but you're hearing it here. And what does it say? If we bring them in and get them under the Word, what will happen? They will hear. And then the Spirit can touch their hearts and draw them. This is what we're here for. This is what wisdom is teaching us here in these verses. It also teaches us that those that are simple don't want to hear, don't mess with them. You've got people out there that will scorn you. They will laugh at you because of your faith. So that's why I say, let them open the door. Then you can have a conversation. Don't keep going back. If they want to laugh at you and carry on, leave them alone. They've made their choice. And you can't do it for them. And going back is just going to make them mad with you. And they will actually hate you because of you telling them that they're wrong, that they need to change their ways. And could possibly even try to do you bodily harm. We've had churches walked into and shot up. And this is terrible in this world, especially in this country that was founded that they could have the freedom of religion. And if they had written our Constitution right, it would say exactly what it should say, that you have the right to worship the one true living God in the way that he leads you to worship him, not how some king or somebody else tells you or some government tells you how to worship. But even our government today, look what they've done to us. No prayer in school. When they took the prayer out of school, guns started coming in, knives started coming in. Well, I carried a knife in school all the time I was in school. I had a knife in my pocket. It was a tool. It was to be used to help people. Mainly, I could sharpen pencils because I didn't know they had pencil sharpeners. You know, so I carried my own sharpener. But you think about it. We didn't get in trouble because all the boys had a knife. Some of the girls even had one in the pocketbook. But, you know, we were raised up to where that was a tool. It was to be used when you were out working, because most of us come up doing field work or whatever, you know, around a farm sometime. And even though I lived in Savannah, when I was out of school, I was at my granddaddy's if I could get there. And you had to have a knife in your pocket because you never knew. You're always cutting string or something. You know, and the worst job we had, to me, was baling hay because they had one of them round balers with string. You better be quick with that knife. They had a ring that went on your finger, that little cutter. And I saw too many men walking around with a finger missing because that cord had caught. They didn't get it cut, and they yanked it and took their finger off. So you had to be careful. I carried a pocket knife, and my granddaddy taught me how to sharpen it. And I guarantee you, that string didn't get left behind. It got cut. So I didn't get no fingers missing. But different things like that. You know, we didn't have problems with that in school. It was most teachers, you know, they knew. And they'd say, call you by name and say, you got your knife with you today? Can I use it for a minute? Yes, ma'am. Because we were taught respect for them. People today don't have respect for you and I as a Christian. They look down on us. They think that we've caused all kind of problems. And really, no, we haven't. Because we go to them with love. You don't go to them just hollering, screaming, you are a sinner, you know, you're going to die. No, you go to them with love. And you tell them what Christ has done for them and what he's setting up for them. You know, because he died for all of us. He didn't die for just me. He died for all the world. Every human being that's ever lived, he died for. He took their sin upon himself. And he's building a house. that they will have a place with him when he comes back, if they will accept and get saved by grace. Because we are saved through faith by grace. And that faith is believing the word that he put here. I believe every word in here, where it says in the beginning, the last word in here, where it says amen. And if a person says, well, I don't believe all of it, they haven't really accepted Jesus, because you believe this on faith. And a lot of things, I don't know whether it's absolute history. I wasn't there. But I take it on faith that God chose these men to write this word and gave them the word to write. Showed them what to write. That you and I would have this word even today. Many books that were written way back then, they're not in existence anymore. You know, because they were destroyed. During the Second World War, Germany destroyed a lot of books. Burn them. That, to me, is terrible, to burn a book. Now, some books I don't think you should read, but they're here. You pick and choose. I pick and choose the Bible. Now, I love to read. And I got books. I love Westerns. And I love to read them. But I read them for the history in them. I love history. This book is mainly history. It is history of God's people. It is the history of Jesus Christ coming to this world that he could save our souls. He knew that his people were going to reject him. Now, I don't know about you, but that'd be hard to take, that you come in and your own family is going to reject you and push you away. They don't want you. And those priests knew who he was. They knew exactly who he was. They didn't want to lose their positions and their power. But God took it anyway. And they don't have any power. So Christ came to the Gentiles, those who were Greek or whatever other, were not Jewish. And he's told us through this word and through the New Testament that he has built a house for us. And we're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I am looking forward to it. I'm tired. I'm getting older. My body's breaking down. I'm not able to do things that I want to do or should be able to do, I think. Because my mind keeps telling me I'm 19 and I can pick this up and I can throw that around. I can do this. And my body says, no, you can't. And it teaches me real quick, I can't do this anymore. I've got to find a different way to do this. So I've had to learn, don't yank and grab stuff. Go get your wheelbarrow or whatever and then move it a little at a time. But stop and think about what Christ has done. I am tired. I'm tired of seeing people shot. People going by today on the news, you know, shooting out of car windows, shooting up cars, driving down the road. You know, somebody going by in a car shooting people with a pellet gun. Why? Policemen had to shoot somebody because she wouldn't, a lady, she wouldn't put a knife down. And she came after him with a knife and I had to shoot her. Now that's terrible. Why? Why do you want to hurt somebody? I don't know. Now maybe before I was saved, I might have understood that, but I don't understand it at all. You know, why do you want to do that? I don't understand. Now I believe in being able to take up for myself and protect me and mine, or protect you. But just to go out there to harm somebody? No. If they got something I want, I'll offer to buy it. But I ain't going to steal it. It ain't going to happen. Because if you steal it, you're not only going to lose it, but you're going to lose whatever other thing that you had as your favorite thing, or they'll get gone. I believe that with everything I got, because the Lord ain't going to put up with it. Plain and simple. And I don't understand this world anymore. And the older I get, the less I understand it. And I'm supposed to be getting smarter all the time, learning. I'm sorry. The more I learn, the less I understand. And one thing I do understand is Jesus Christ died for me on that cross, took my place. He's built a home for me, and he's waiting for the Father to say, bring him home. And I'm waiting for that moment. And I believe that I'm still going to be here when he opens the sky and says, come home. I don't think I'm going to die a natural death. I think he's going to take this body right up. Let's go home. I don't know about y'all, but I love this book. And I love the words in it. And I love the God that wrote it. And the God that brought it to this world in the flesh. And the Spirit that indwells me. Yes, I love them all. Because they are my family. They are my father, my brother. So, yes, because God made us that way. And he claims that we, through the grace of God, become the sons of God if we choose him. But we have a choice to make. And we have a duty to him to take this word wherever we go. Doesn't matter. Whether I open my mouth or not, I can take this word by the way I present myself and the way I talk to people. Because I can show them that love every day. And I hope and pray that I do, and I hope and pray that you do. But that's our duty to Christ and to God the Father and through the Holy Spirit. If we will let him lead, we will teach people how to come to God. And we can fill these churches again because the people are walking away. We're seeing the great falling away of Revelations right now because all you got to do is look. From churches like ours, we don't have a whole lot of young people anymore. They're running to these big mega churches that I don't know whether they're teaching them the word or not. And there's a reason they run. Oh, they got all kind of programs for my children and I can disappear in the crowd and I don't have to do nothing. God called us to do a work and I want to do it. I want to be faithful. I want to stand before him and he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I know I've got things to answer for. And he's going to pull them up and say, you shouldn't have done that. They're going to get burnt up. And that's all right because the good works are going to be made more. And that's all I'm going to remember when I get to that marriage supper. I have nothing else. So as far as I know, we can stand to our feet and we will praise God for what he has given us. So there's Heavenly Father. We humbly bow before you, Lord, thanking you for your word, thanking you most of all for your son, the love that you've shown through him to us. And thanking you for your grace that saved our souls. But Lord, touch my heart. Lead and guide me that I can walk out here in this world, in this dark world, and I can be that lighthouse on the shore of that sin's dark sea that someone may see Christ in me and desire to have that same thing and come and get under the word and be saved. But Lord, I would love to see this building filled with souls that you had saved, praising you, loving you, and taking your word out. So, Lord, lead and guide, and we will give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise, for it's in Jesus' holy, sweet name that we pray. Amen. I hope y'all got something out of this. It's been a great study for me, and I'm still studying, still learning. And I thank God for it.